This podcast is brought to you by HealthRangerStore.com. Lab-tested clean foods and supplements for immune function, long-term storage, and survival applications. Every purchase helps fund this free speech video platform. Thank you for your support. Get ready for tens of millions of Americans to move out of their houses and into tents. We're about to have tent cities across this country yet again. This is Mike Adams here. I appreciate you joining me. I'm going to give you some information here to help you navigate this situation that's coming. And if you end up losing your home, well, there are some ways that you can live more cheaply. I'm going to talk about some of those as well in this podcast. And by the way, the idea for this, just a hat tip, goes to Full Spectrum Survival, which is a channel on YouTube. And there's a gentleman there. I don't know his name, but he is one of the co-presenters with myself and many others in the upcoming conference called Final Warning, Brace for Impact. That's at gen6.com. I think that streams live starting October 15th or 16th, somewhere around there. And it is the final warning messages from about a dozen of us, so-called thought leaders, you know, in this independent media and survival industry. And Full Spectrum Survival does a great job with their daily YouTube videos. And essentially the guy, again, I apologize that I don't know his name. I'd really like to invite him on for an interview, by the way, if you happen to know who this is. But he writes very compelling articles, well-researched, with warning messages about what's coming. And then he reads those to camera. And so every video is his article performed by himself. And it's very well done. And I just want to give him a thumbs up. Check out his channel on YouTube. And if you get a chance, invite him over to Brighteon.com, because we'd love to have his videos on Brighteon as well. So I was listening to his show today, and he was talking about the coming tent cities. And immediately, it reminded me of my grandparents. And I remember as a youngster, growing up in the Midwest, talking to my grandparents about the Great Depression. And that's when I learned that, you know, one set of my grandparents had actually lived in a tent right after the Great Depression. And my grandfather was a mechanical person. He did a lot of craftsman type of stuff. He could build anything with his hands. And he worked for various companies, you know, in the 1930s as a young man himself. And they, at one time, they were working for a company, and the company provided, quote, housing for the employees, which included my grandfather and his young wife, who, by the way, is still alive today, and she's 102. She's 102 years old. I mean, that's incredible. She was born in 1917, I believe. And anyway, they were a young couple in the 30s, and they lived in a tent, which was corporate housing. So even in that time, it's interesting that you had to go to a company. If you didn't have a place to live, you could get housing through a company, but the housing was, again, something very simple, just a tent. But that was considered better than nothing, better than sleeping in the rain. And times were very, very difficult then. And I remember even wondering, you know, why were my grandparents, you know, saving everything? And why were they such a penny pinchers? And why would they turn off every light switch that I left on in their house, right? And today we know why, because those are habits that people learned when they went through hard times. And you learned to conserve, you learned to reuse. And I specifically remember my grandfather telling me a story about how he would repair the soles of his own shoes using scrap leather that they found from some other, I don't know, some piece of leather, and how they would even, they would put rubber on the soles of their shoes from old used bicycle tire inner tubes. So you had to learn to make do. And I really admire the fact that they were so innovative. When I was young and I was hearing my grandparents say these things, you know, as a young person growing up in a time when, you know, we had a house and, you know, we were a middle-class family, we had plenty. I always thought it was strange, you know, as a young person, but today I really honor this lifestyle that my grandparents lived and made it through the tough times and learned how to save and learned how to conserve. And they saved money and they didn't trust the banks. So if you wonder where some of my personality comes from about not trusting banks, for example, turns out that's something my grandparents lived through. They didn't trust the banks. They took their money out of the banks and, you know, put it under the mattress. And then they saved money. They saved and saved and saved. And over time, then they were able to live off pensions and so on. And later on, you know, collecting Social Security money and so on. And they did okay. But today, the American people who are about to be kicked out of their homes and apartments in huge numbers, tens of millions, probably by early next year. These people, modern day people, they have no idea how to live through tough times. And so this is going to be, in essence, a much bigger crisis, not only in terms of the scale of it. Tens of millions of people are going to be homeless in America within the next 12 months. Mark my words, this is what's going to happen. But those tens of millions of people are not prepared for this. They don't have the mindset of our grandparents, you know, that mindset of self-reliance or being able to grow some of your own food or learning how to can, learning how to live on food scraps, basically, because a lot of people did that back then. Today, that's no one lives that way almost. Very few people live that way. Most people have more food than they can handle, which is why there's such an obesity problem across America. People today have more handouts than ever before. I mean, look, right now they're getting paid to not work and stay home and collect government bailout money and state unemployment money and FEMA emergency money. And they're even allowed to just squat in homes and apartments that they no longer are paying mortgages for because of the CDC emergency declaration that says you can't evict people. If you're a property owner, you can't evict people. So people are living in homes and apartments and not paying rent. Well, gosh, that didn't exist in the 1930s or even, frankly, any time until now. You know, how are you going to just live in a place you're not paying for? Well, it turns out that's not a sustainable model because the landlords will go broke because the landlord still has to make the mortgage payment or the loan payment to the bank. You see, the landlord is on the hook for that. So the CDC says, well, you as a landlord, you can't evict people because we're in this pandemic emergency, but you still have to pay the banks. Well, what are landlords going to do? Well, some landlords are losing hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars a month if they have a larger apartment building. They're just going to basically declare bankruptcy and walk away from that building or try to sell it to somebody. But who's going to buy it when there's no income, you see? So by doing this, the CDC and the government, and this is happening at state government levels as well, they've collapsed the value of residential real estate property, which means that no one can sell it. So they're causing massive bankruptcies across the residential housing market, which means that there will be no investors building housing for people, right? Not hard to do the math on this, which means there's going to be a major housing crisis, a shortage of housing. And it also means, by the way, that when people do finally move out of these homes, you know, over time, for whatever reason, the landlord, the owner of that home that had been renting it to someone, do you think they're going to invite somebody else in to rent it again, knowing that they may never be able to collect rent? No, of course not. They're going to sell that house. They're not going to be a landlord anymore. So there will be a shortage of homes to rent, a shortage of apartments to rent. And all these investment firms that have been building apartment complexes for people, they will stop building them because there's no point in it if you can't collect rent. So we're about to have kind of like a double perfect storm, like a double whammy storm is about to hit us. Number one, the storm of people not being able to pay rent and eventually getting evicted when all these protections end. And then secondly, investors who would normally build housing, they are no longer going to build housing. These two things are about to happen. And by the way, both of these problems have been created by government. The first problem of why everybody's broke and can't pay rent is because the government pushed all these lockdowns for way too long. I mean, I understand the first month of lockdowns, but 8 months of lockdowns, or whatever it is now, or 6 months, give me a break. No one can survive, or few people can survive with a lack of income for that long. This is just like economic terrorism. at this point, destroying America with these punitive lockdowns. So government created that problem. And now by banning evictions, government has created the second problem as well, which is that no investor will build housing anymore because no one wants to flush money down a giant black hole, especially not investors. They're looking for a return on their investments. You know, they want to be able to obviously earn something on their investments. And so both of these problems are created by government. And how is government going to solve this? Is it just going to be more bailout money to more people? Are they going to bail out the landlords? Well, guess what? The entire national real estate market, it's too large to bail out all the landlords. I mean, that would mean the government buying all the apartment complexes and buying all of the housing that's used as rentals. So is that what's going to happen? The government's going to now own all the real estate, basically, the residential real estate across America? Because that's not a solution. That's, I don't know, communism or something, but it's not a free market solution and it's not sustainable. So the net effect of this is that tens of millions of people are going to be homeless. And when that happens, here's what you're going to see. And it has already begun, by the way. And maybe some of you listening to this have already had to make this transition where you're living out of your car or you're living out of a pickup truck and you have a tent. And so sometimes you can set up a tent and you can, you know, live in that tent for a few nights, but then you have to get in your car and you have to move and go somewhere else. Some people are buying RVs and living out of the RVs, or they're buying trailers or truck campers and they're living out of campers and trailers. And maybe they know a friend who's allowing them to park on their property, for example. And I suspect what you're going to see in the months ahead is a lot of Americans moving out of their homes, moving out of apartments, and moving into campers and trailers, and doing things like offering to live on site at a, let's say, a commercial property, to live in the parking lot or something, to offer nighttime security, to say, hey, we'll keep an eye on the place as long as you let us live here. You know, you let us park our trailer in your parking lot. We'll kind of keep an eye on the place. I suspect you're going to see a lot of that happening because it actually makes sense with more riots and more violence and more crime happening. There's going to be a lot more break-ins at night, especially onto commercial properties. And there are going to be a lot of commercial property owners who are going to want some kind of security, even if it's not professional security, but somebody who can just stay there and keep an eye on the place, and maybe somebody who's got a Glock, you know, or a shotgun in their trailer. I think you're going to see a lot of situations like this. And I think you're also going to see a lot of towns and cities, especially in rural areas, having to deal with people setting up tent cities. I think we're going to see tent cities in the cities, but also across rural America. Again, where do you house tens of millions of people who no longer have homes or apartments, who are living out of tents and cars and trailers? Where do you put them? And the answer is you're going to have giant areas, giant vacant lots or giant fields set up for people to stay in their tents. And when you do that, by the way, and that's coming, rest assured, that is coming, because the number of homeless is going to be so large that you can't just have them wandering around the streets. You have to have a place for them. And, you know, some of these ideas have already started to be implemented in places like California, by the way. But when you have this, you start to have very serious public health issues, like what do you do about sewage? You start to have 1,000 people living in a giant field or a vacant lot, you have a sewage problem. And if you don't deal with that, you have a cholera problem, or you have an E. coli problem, or a dysentery problem, or what have you. How do you deal with sanitation? And these areas will often become the areas through which epidemic diseases will sweep through very aggressively. They can also be magnets for crime, because when you're living in a tent, you don't really have a lot of security. Someone can just take a knife and slice open your tent and rob you or threaten you or murder you. So you're going to have, frankly, you're going to have, in many of these areas, they're going to collapse into kind of like third world status areas, which is why if you are forced into this situation, stay out of the cities. do anything you can to get to a rural area. And if you have to sell your house or maybe walk away from it because you can't make the mortgage payment, I would much rather live out of a camper in a rural area than be living in a tent in a city. And almost everybody who has been working can afford at least a camper. And so maybe somebody you know can allow you to set up on their property. Just remember, number one, a lot of these campers are not really built for 24/7 living. They're not designed to be lived in all year long. And so some of them may have problems with humidity control and things like that. And secondly, you're going to have sources for heat in the winter, you know, the propane tanks typically, and you're going to use some electricity. So you need to be able to plug in to a building or a home in order to, you know, heat and run the pumps that run the water pressure for the toilets in the camper and the shower in the camper and the stovetop for cooking and so on. But tens of millions of American people are about to downsize or downscale their lives in a very significant way. People are going to be living on the cheap because this whole system of free money and low interest rates and home loans to largely people who didn't qualify for them, that whole system is going away. And eventually these protections against evictions will be reversed. And we will see a wave of massive evictions across this country. By the way, this also means you're going to have tens of millions of people who probably suffer from, you know, food insecurity, as it's called, or we just used to call it starvation. And those of us who have the means to help those people, we should do our part as much as we can to help them. And in my mind, that means donating to local churches and donating to food banks. And since I happen to be in the food industry, I will, of course, do what I can to help local food banks in Central Texas and different churches here and there as well, because a lot of these homeless people who are just recently homeless, people who used to be middle-class income earners, people who used to own a small business, people who used to work at a restaurant as a manager, now they're homeless. Many of these people are going to need help, and they're going to turn to churches and food banks in order to get that help. And the rest of us who are blessed enough to have a roof over our heads and to have thriving businesses, for example, or to have incomes and savings and so on, we really need to do our part to help these people, because you don't want to live in a society that is collapsing into desperation and destitution and starvation and all these things. That is a very bad society to live in. When people are desperate and crime is through the roof, you know, nobody is safe in that kind of environment. Nobody's safe. So do your part as best you can to help people, you know, get back on their feet, to help people avoid starvation, to help maybe sponsor families who have children when you can. And, you know, have a heart, have some compassion, and help society get back on its feet. Hard times are coming. So I thank you for your support, by the way, of my online store, healthrangerstore.com. You've helped us create all of this content and these platforms like Brightown.social, Brightown.com, the video free speech platform. And through this, we are able to reach and help many millions of people all across this country, tens of millions a year, maybe 100 million worldwide in a year. We're helping a lot of people. So we appreciate your help, and we're committed to doing our part to help others. Thank you for listening. This is Mike Adams here, the Health Ranger. Be safe, and God bless America.